there's a rapid concentration of wealth. Next year, the richest 1% of people in the world will have more wealth than the other 99%. So that in and of itself is pretty a gobsmacking kind of statistic. And we know that this concentration of wealth, and it's more that I guess the issue of the growing gap between the richest and the poorest is getting starker. So in 2010, for example, it took 388 billionaires globally to match the wealth of the poorest 3.5 billion people. Now, in just 4 years, it now only takes 80 billionaires to own the same wealth as the poorest half of the world. And the concern is that there are still 1 in 9 people who don't have enough to eat globally. There's still more than 1 billion people who live on less than $1.25 a day. And we also know that for many of the wealthy, either as multinational companies or wealthy individuals, there is this issue of how much are they really paying their fair share of dues in relation to things like taxation.
When you look at those numbers over such a short period of time, has that surprised you, the speed with which inequality, the gap, is growing?
It has surprised us, and we've been monitoring this issue of inequality for a number of years now. And it surprises us at a time where there's so much evidence that we should really be tackling this.
What is driving this recent explosion in inequality?
Well, we know that a lot of the wealth is concentrated in a number of industries. And we know, so it's certainly, you know, finance and IT. And we know that in many cases, a lot of this wealth is inherited. But you would have to say that the actual global checks and balances that might have once achieved the kind of reasonable equality that occurred after the Second World War have broken down. They're not coping with the kind of way that business is done by the very fast-moving global economy, by the sort of digital world that we live in one way or the other. And this is not begrudging people who generate wealth. This is not the sort of envy argument here at all. It's a concern about what the longer term implications are for us globally. And we've taken a bit of a look at Asia just by way of contrast, because, you know, this is an area that Australia says is of concern to us. The data from Forbes show that Asia's richest person is in Hong Kong and they have $31 billion in wealth. But in that region, there are 500 million people who barely survive on $1.25 a day. And in Indonesia, which of course is moving into being much more of a middle-income country, there are 129,000 individuals who are in the richest 1% of people around the globe, but almost half the population live on less than $2 a day. So it really gives you the kind of sense of starkness of how this wealth is being experienced. And I think one of the other concerns, and the reason that this should be raised at a forum like Davos, is that inevitably with the concentration of wealth comes the concentration of power. And again, what we need are governments to be operating in the interests of the poorest as well as the richest.
Well, world leaders are meeting for the World Economic Forum in Davos next week. Do you expect your report, though, to register with them?
There's a job to be done, and the World Economic Forum, 2,500 of the world's richest people, top businessmen and politicians, could say, let's have a world tax summit that actually looks at inclusive growth. Oxfam has our international executive director at Davos. We're in very good company raising concerns about inequality. The World Economic Forum itself last year identified income inequality as one of the most concerning issues that was facing the world globally. Preceding the G20, we had from Barack Obama to the Pope to Christine Lagarde from the IMF actually highlighting inequality as something that had to be addressed. And the concern is that if we allow this gap to widen, if we leave such a substantial proportion of the world's poor behind, then we're not going to reach the growth targets. You know, think about it from a self-interested perspective. You can't have that growth continuing when you have so many people who are poor, who are hungry, and who, in many cases, are operating on a below living wage.
What can governments do, though, to reduce inequality when really what you're talking about is wealthy corporations and wealthy individuals?
Well, we've already heard that there is debate on our domestic front around tax laws, and particularly the issues of the taxes that are paid by multinational corporations. Now, whether our own government goes very far in that direction remains to be seen, and we know that the Assistant Treasurer, Josh Frydenberg, is actually in Davos and is part of the Australian delegation. But we also need to have a really hard look at tax and where the tax burden falls. At the moment in our domestic context and in many other contexts, it falls on labour and consumption. We're saying we, if you have this concentration of wealth, we really need to look at capital and wealth tax. So stop the dodging. Make sure that there are fair taxes that are paid by people who are generating this wealth. But then we also need to actually look at how those taxes are used, and that really goes back to the issue of what are the social infrastructures that are put in place that are the safety nets for people across the world, including things like a minimum income guarantee. And horrifyingly, we're a long way off that.
Dr. Zirke, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.